Hey everyone, we'll get you to the show in a second. Just want to give you the heads up about our latest Red Men Plus special offer. If you want even more Liverpool content in your lives, both in video and podcast forms, simply head to redmenplus.com. And if you sign up as a yearly captain subscriber and use the promo code RACE, R-A-C-E, you'll get 50% off a yearly subscription. So yeah, that'll get you covered for the rest of this amazing season, the search for a new manager, the summer transfer window, and pretty much all of the new manager's first season as well. So yeah, redmenplus.com, yearly captain subscription, promo code RACE, and get 50% off. I'll see you all over there. Hope you enjoy this podcast that's about to start right now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men TV, instant match reaction time. Liverpool have beaten Spurs 2-1 at Wembley. Chris and I are here to chew the fat for 10, 15, 20 minutes or so. We'll see how we get on. We've had time, we've done our match reactions and stuff. They're all obviously up and out. We'll do a bit more in depth on this on the final word on Monday, but it's interesting seeing the reactions and the comments and stuff and a bit of Twitter, which is always, I think, is a really exaggerated worst take on what's happened. But the one thing that comes through, and I kind of agree with to some extent, is that we were totally dominant in that game, completely dominant, and yet we left ourselves in a situation with 4 minutes left to go in the game where we still ended up nervy. And that's my, we'll talk about a couple of the bigger points of the match, like, but my overriding criticism, and it feels weird to talk about a criticism when we're now 5 wins from 5, is the profligacy in front of goal that could have, I mean, you know, I think it's been called the selfishness, could have cost us a bit there.
Yeah, it could have. I mean, you know, it's funny sometimes we were having a conversation about, I think it was Divock Origi, I think it was me and you a week or so ago, we're talking about, like, you know, and so I think you might have said, you know, he's getting in those positions though. Now, why we're not applying that logic to this? It's strange, isn't it? Yeah. Because they are getting into the good positions and getting into very good positions against a great Tottenham Hotspur side. But equally, you know, because you've watched so much football and we've both watched so much football, everybody has watched so much football over the years, that these are the things that do tend to cost you from time to time. And that's the annoyance, is that you're totally dominant and you're so good in possession of the ball and you're doing everything right and you're so solid defensively, yet still it felt like we had a little bit of a soft underbelly today. And ultimately, we won the 3 points, and that's what matters. I think if you go into this game, I'd have been quite happy with a draw. I didn't think we'd dominate Tottenham in the way that we dominated Tottenham. So for them to have 3 minutes at the end of the game where I'm a little bit scared, if you take it back to the beginning of the game and you go, you're going to have 3 minutes at the end, it's going to be nervy, Chris, but ultimately you're going to absolutely batter them. I'm going to take that off you all day.
No, I think.
But it's that thing that we could be better and we know that we're going to be better, and still that front three isn't firing. Yeah. And yet, everyone's still looking forward because we know we can get so much better.
No, I completely agree in that regard. And I think it's weird that I think I probably, you know what it is? I think I just want us to be what we were like at the back end of the season.
Just incredible.
Well, yeah. You know, but whereas, you know, because we could have done that. We were talking, we were watching the game. If, I mean, like, I know they get worth the goal given for offside very early on. And I think there's a debatable moment there where I wonder whether that was given. Mane was given offside because they thought Mane stuck it in the back of the net, which I actually thought when we were watching it in real time, or whether it was because he was interfering with play. If he doesn't interfere with play, if he doesn't go for it, does that get given? And if we get that goal early on, do we go on and smash them? And that's the slight recrimination on this, because realistically, it's such a big game and we've got so much pressure on us. This has been the running theme of the season so far, is how every game needs to be a win, because we're so terrified that Man City are not going to drop any more points for the rest of the season. And yet, so I think we probably, and I know I'd love it, I just want us to make that game 3-0 and it be done, so that I can go, I don't need 5 minutes of this, because if we have to be like that, because you can't help but think, oh God, I can't have a season of this. Now, you're dead right. The for the positions we're getting into, for how that looked, that was, I think, was our best performance of the season so far.
It's our front three's best performance, yes, of the season so far as well.
It stands to reason, because this is not was based on 2 seasons ago, 3 seasons ago. Base it on last season. You would more expect than hope that it will just click and we'll start.
Yeah, and I think ultimately as well, I think Klopp's come into this game and he's had a clear idea of how Liverpool are going to get at Tottenham. And I think he was right, and I think that's borne out in the facts and the stats from the game. I think, you know, we had 10 shots on target today, 3. We had 17 shots in total. I think we had 14 of our 17 shots from inside the area.
Which,
you know, we're working
massive
against Tottenham Hotspur, yeah, who've been probably the most miserly defence over the last 4 seasons. Yeah. I think, you know, you look at that back line and you look at Vertonghen and Vermaelen and you... Vertonghen and Alderweireld, and you think they're top draw centre halves, and they were made to look worse than average today. They were made to look really bad, and we were dragging them into positions that they didn't want to be in.
Yeah.
And we were constantly asking questions and putting them on the back foot,
yeah,
and working these opportunities. Now, Vaughan makes a couple of decent saves, but you wouldn't ever say that he was world class in that, and maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's what you want Liverpool to do. You want Liverpool to hit the corners of the goal more than they were able to.
Yeah.
But even to just create opportunities against that Tottenham side is a very, very strong position to be in.
Yeah, no, and it's interesting you mentioned that their team selection, a combination of them not being at the peak of their powers. No Dele Alli, obviously. No Son's only just got back into training. Lamella's still very much getting back into the flow of being a professional footballer again after being out for a while. The centre half thing, I think, is the most interesting. You're dead right, because that's being lauded. You know, 12 months ago, if you're picking a centre back pairing in a dream Premier League 11, you're pretty much going for Vertonghen and Alderweireld. You know, there's not many other, you know, particularly given that it's a partnership as well. And you're dead right. I think you're starting to see with them that it was mentioned in commentary that Liverpool's front three are all 26. They're all absolutely at the peak of their powers and they've got more time there. Whereas you're starting to see Vertonghen and Alderweireld, both very good players. But when I look at our centre-back pairing and in Van Dijk and Gomez, and you know, one or two sticky moments for them, but their pace got them out of that. And that is one thing where you can see Jan Vertonghen in particular did not want exactly what you said. We made him play in ways that he didn't want to play. And that's another encouraging thing, because and it plays into the strength that Liverpool are in. This is a near rival. And I'm looking at their team and look, Tottenham will be back. Tottenham will have a very good season. They're going to be there and thereabouts. But I look at the things that I envied about their team. I'm nowhere near as envious of. I haven't seen that performance.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think I did a video with Sim from We Are Tottenham TV the other day, and you know, he was questioning me about Van Dijk and do I think he's a better centre-half than them two and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I do. And you know, I was backing it up with what Van Dijk's been able to do for Liverpool. And you know, he was saying, listen, Vertonghen and Alderweireld have been doing this for a few years. And I'm like, yeah, but they're 29 and 31. Van Dijk's 25, 26 years old.
There'll be a great centre-back partnership for Juventus in the years, but they will be.
But and they're very, very clever players, but they're going to get found out against pace. And pace trumps pretty much everything on a football field, doesn't it? And Sadio Mane was running at pace. You know, I think he had the better of both Dier and the centre-halves.
There were three or four chances in times in that game where one or all of us went, oh my God, he's got it. You know, like, because we're still surprised. We watched these lads for a year, 2 years for Sadio Mane, and we're still surprised at how lightning quick they are.
At times, I do feel like Vertonghen purposefully wasn't going for the ball because he was so... I think what I've noticed with Salah sometimes, you think he's running at full pelt and then something happens and he just gives you that extra 5%. And we've all been there playing footy at whatever level where you think you're getting the ball and the lad's just a lot faster than you think and suddenly you're away. And that he was covering in case that happened.
That is the modern Premier League era standard yellow card situation where you go committed, you think you've got it all day long and the guy's just faster than you and you end up cleaning them out. And you're dead right. I think Vertonghen tried to play within himself. Look, they'll have been aware of what the state of Dejan Lovren last year, and he did that when if you go a bit too front foot and you don't back yourself or you over back yourself, you can leave yourself completely exposed, and that's the problem that they were faced with, particularly given our attacking Trippier and Rose are. That if one of those centre halves over commits, then all of a sudden you've left your partner with at least two of our guys to deal with.
Yeah.
But great. I want to ask you, because we'll get drilled too deep down into it, but who was your man of the match?
It was a tie between James Milner and Roberto Firmino.
Oh, really?
I thought Roberto Firmino was fantastic. I think Milner got man of the match from Gary Neville. I think he's brilliant. Even like 93rd minute, that crunching tackle over on the sideline and stuff, and you're thinking, that was a captain's tackle at a time of the game when you needed someone to do it. And I know Henderson was on the field, but I thought Milner was brilliant. Bobby Firmino looked, for the first time this season, like he's finished pre-season. Like he's actually ready to start playing football now. And I was talking about it during the player ratings.
He looked fast, didn't he?
He did, and it's difficult because we don't know what goes on behind closed doors, and Bobby's obviously still been having a pre-season, and maybe the training has just, well, he hasn't been there, so maybe that'll have helped, slackened off enough now that he's able to perform at a better level at the weekend. I was talking to Simon Brundish on the Newsroom podcast on the website this week, and he had some really interesting things to say actually about this type of stuff. And, you know, interestingly, our points per game, Simon was telling me, it was about 1 point something on lunchtime kickoffs, but our points per game on like late kickoffs is like 2.05. And there's a point difference.
Yeah.
And this is based off 66 games he's gone back here, but this is down, he thinks, to the fact that Klopp has them training at the same time as games. So for 40 of your 56 games a season, you're playing these late afternoon, early evening kickoffs. We're really set up for that.
Yeah.
But we're the only team in the league that doesn't train in the daytimes most of the time. So you might get 5 games or 6, 7, 10 games a season where you'd have these early kickoffs. Now, we're really poor at them because we're not normally training at that time, which means we're not normally able to be our best at that time of day.
I wonder if that's a focus this season then, because if you're looking at it and saying, well, we I know you love it and we talk about it quite a lot across the content that we do about the marginal gain stuff. If you're looking to crank things up, where you say, well, we're not going to score more goals, but is there a way we can, how are we picking up, where can we pick, we need to pick an extra 3 points up here, or an extra point up here, an extra this and that, and it wouldn't shock for them to look at that. Someone will have that on the spreadsheet and go, big red cross, this is where we're dropping loads of points. What a way to do it, because it was telling that Firmino, Fabinho and Alisson, obviously they got back earlier than expected, didn't they? It makes you wonder, maybe if they come back a little bit late.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Would we have seen it be quite as good? But no, it was definitely just, on the man of the match thing. Genie Wijnaldum, I thought was worthy of a shot. I mean, we're talking about a world where I don't think he put a foot wrong, and I'm sure we'll have a look into the stats a bit closer for the final words. And obviously, you're doing stats and tactics this week as well. But the way he used his body to shield it, my fear over that midfield is because, and I said this in the build up, I thought if you've got Dembele, and I hadn't even really factored Dier in there, two monsters in that midfield, and then they've got Winks, who might as well not been on the pitch.
Don't know where he was, yeah.
No idea.
He was covering for Rose most of the time.
More of a blink than a wink.
Nice. Like that. Oh, you had that plan for about 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second.
Well, it's not very funny. And I was going to say, because they're not big lads we've got in the midfield three. They're Keita, Milner.
Play big though, mate.
Yeah. It's true, and there was a concern that we might be more physically steamrolled. Dembele's done that a lot to us in those games. And you referenced in the build up show, I thought Gini was absolutely outstanding. And again, the way he uses the ball, the way he shields it, and again, scores not the decisive goal. Doesn't end up being the decisive goal because we can see.
I think it's decisive. The most right. important. I think it's decisive in the fact that, you know, we score, and I think it's the 39th minute of the game, don't we? And you know, me and Si, while you were doing the team news at half-time, we were outside talking about how we could have been 3-0 up after that first half, but equally we could have gone in 0-0. And that would have given Tottenham an air of confidence to come out second half and really maybe put the sword to Liverpool. So, you know, those goals before half-time are really massively important. And I thought first half he was absolutely on it, outstanding. I think there was a slight drop-off second half from him, but maybe that's because the level he was playing at was so good that it was unachievable for a full 90. You know, he doesn't play the six in the same way as Jordan Henderson. Mm-hmm. He's a lot more dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, he's getting into the box. You know, he's
the
finished.
Play happens in front of Jordan Henderson.
Yeah.
You know, he gets his head up and he makes the ball do the work. And that's a very useful way of doing it. And clearly Klopp loves that. What's telling about Gini Wijnaldum is that, I think I may have said this when we played in the Champions League game at Man City, he carries the ball to where it needs to be. Yeah. You know, so if he can't make the pass, Jordan Henderson can make the pass. Gini Wijnaldum goes, I can't make that pass. Where do I need to be to make the pass? And he'll drop the shoulder, or he'll swivel, or he'll just use his strength. He'll roll a man, and he'll carry it forward 10 yards, and then he'll make the pass. And sometimes it slows us down. But in games where you want to dominate possession, well, there you go. You're holding on to the ball. You know, you're not taking as many risks, and ultimately, if you're getting, well, maybe you are taking more risks in possession per se, but you are. You've got the ball, you're in control of it, and then you're moving it on. I think it gives everyone a lift. It gives the midfield a lift as well, because there is just something to seeing one of your guys beat one of their guys that makes you feel so much better about what you're
doing.
Yeah,
it does, and I think it's important that when he plays the six, you're always going to see probably a Milner or a Henderson even in the eight, because sometimes he goes forward almost like free of that role, and he doesn't think about it. But in James Milner, or maybe if Jordan Henderson's playing the eight with him, there'll always be someone to cover for him. You know, I think it was first half, maybe it was second half, he's in the box and taking a shot off, and it's a driving run from midfield. Henderson doesn't make those from the sixth position.
It's mad, because I saw there was a video on Facebook last week, and it was a Jordan Henderson performance from, I think it was, it might have been an old Spurs game. In fact, it was the Spurs game where we beat them four or five, whatever it was, and we annihilated them. Watch the highlights back of that game, and Jordan Henderson is pivotal to like three or four of the goals that we scored in that game, and he's bombing forward, and he's doing these driving runs, and he's doing this and that, and you're dead right, it's not Henderson's game anymore. Part of that, I think, is tactical, but other it is just that we don't know how he's developed physically and what have you. And you're dead right, it does feel a more natural fit at this point for Gini Wijnaldum, because how are you meant to defend against that? You could technically have six guys attacking. You could go as high as seven, eighth, if you were genuinely going gung-ho for it with your fullbacks. But more importantly, you would never really go that gung-ho. But it's harder to legislate, because you're going, well, I expect Salah, and I expect Firmino, and I expect Mane to do things. I would expect Keita, because we know Keita can do a little bit more. And okay, Milner, because we know Milner gets a lot of assists, so he'll be dangerous around that. All of a sudden, the six, the DM's coming up. And you're like, well, hang on a second. Sorry, whose responsibility was it to pick him up? But even if that causes you a moment's hesitation, it gives you an upper hand in game.
It does, yeah. And I think certainly in this game, sort of tactically, you know, some of my feelings from the game was that, I don't think Trent really joined the attack today. And I think had Henderson been playing, Trent would have joined the attack much more. Mm-hmm. I think Henderson feels comfortable covering in those areas of the pitch. And, you know, with the pace of Lucas Moura always being a threat or an option, at least for Tottenham, with that ball in behind, it was important that he kept Trent and his pace back, because I think he's faster than a Genie Wijnaldum or a Jordan Henderson in those areas. So then you're losing a body to attack with. So where are you going to gain that body? And today it was Genie Wijnaldum who was able to be that extra man when you need that overload. We still have Robertson do it on the left-hand side, mm-hmm. but again, he's so pacey and he's got such an engine, he can do that up and down. But when we look at the stats and when we're preparing for the stats and tactics show, we'll probably find that most of Liverpool's attacks come down that left-hand side again. Normally it's very even, mm-hmm. you know, a few percent here and there, but I imagine maybe 5-6% more down the left-hand side than the right-hand side. Well, I might even just check that.
Oh yeah, we'll definitely want to check out. Chris will be doing the stats and tactics show on Monday. At the minute, you're doing it after every game. We'll see how sustainable that is as the season progresses. But yeah, if you want a more in-depth look at a particular instance and the big things from the game to really work out how Liverpool are constructed and are ticking over at the moment, the RedmenTV.com. We're going to be filming the final word on Monday, so we're a little bit of a switch around to what we do. Obviously, we're aware that the reactions of the single man reactions, particularly after the game, it's a bit hot, it's a bit heated. It's not an element of about fan TV that I'm a massive fan of, but we do like to really dive into stuff, you know, to really talk about the game. This will serve as your bridging point, your jumping on point for Monday's final word show. So if there's something we've not discussed on this show that you really want to get a discussion over on from this game, let me know in the comments below and we'll add that to the agenda for Monday's show, and you can get over to redmentv.com and watch it. Are you right?
I am right. So Liverpool attacked 44% of the time down the left-hand side and only 33% down the right-hand side of the pitch.
So you were miles out.
I said, yeah, I think you'd probably find it 7-8%, but it's like 11% difference there. It's quite big. Cool. Tottenham were equally left-hand side, 40%, so pinning Trent back a little bit, and we'll have a little deep dive on that on the stats and tactics on Monday.
Absolutely. So, yeah, unbeaten still.
5 wins out of 5, mate.
And this is it, isn't it?
Uncharted territory.
Well, we've talked about, it's the best start since 1991 in the league, which means we haven't had a start like this in the Premier League, which I think is absolutely fascinating. Now, that, you know, anyone who remembers 91-92, it ended really well because we won the FA Cup that year.
2-0, Sunderland.
Less said about the league and from there on, really. But I think, as we said, it's the encouraging start. At time of film, Man City are absolutely steamrolling.
3-0.
Their way.
Arsenal are winning against Newcastle, unfortunately. Yeah, Chelsea are 2-1 Cardiff.
It is, you know, it is what it is. And this is what it's about for Liverpool. What we did there today was just set our stall out again and go, look, there we go. There's our point. Our points are on the board. Go and do what you have got to do, and then, you know, we'll tick over. And obviously, the attention's going to turn to PSG off the back of it. But yeah, positivity. I see a little bit deflated by the nature of it, because I think if we're 1-0 down and we come back and win 2-1, then, you know, that gives you a bit more of a lift. But equally, there was a great stat where since April 2017, we haven't lost the game that we've gone 1-0. We've scored the first goal in.
And yet JB Redknapp was still talking during the game about that Bournemouth game.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we've proved, and there's been enough evidence there to suggest that this Liverpool side has changed. This Liverpool side is much better than it used to be, yeah. Much more headstrong. And, you know, we've got the mental, physical attributes and tactical attributes to go and snot teams now away from home. And we've done that against one of our big rivals today in Tottenham Hotspur.
That's the big thing. 6 points now on Spurs. You want them mentally to start thinking, we're not really in a race with Liverpool. Well, and you want them looking at Arsenal, and you want them maybe, I mean, look, Chelsea are ticking over as well, so it's not fair to discount, to put them in that conversation kind of thing, but you want them, Man United, Arsenal and Spurs, to enter a little mini league of competition for that fourth spot effectively, and everyone just let us get on with our business.
Let's not forget, most of the fixtures you'd look at today and go, Liverpool, this is the fixture that if any of the top six are going to drop points, this is the fixture. And had Liverpool drawn or lost to Tottenham, it wouldn't have been the end of the world. But now everyone's going, fuck me, they can't even, they're winning against Tottenham at Wembley.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, they mean business. We're serious, mate.
Serious ambitions. Just like us on the RedmenTV.com. So as I say, if you want more analysis, you can do it. We've got the Man of the Match podcast, the Final Word Show, and Chris's stats and tactics picking apart every single avenue of this game. So whether you're into the light-hearted chat and banter, or you really going to get into the nuts and bolts of how this Liverpool team performs, we've got you covered. It's free for the first month. You can go and try it out, see how you get on with it. If you're getting on with it well already, let people know in the comments below, spread the good vibes, and we shall see you over there Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for subscribing to the YouTube channel. See you soon. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.